بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فيقول هاؤم اقرءوا كتابيه إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيه. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our congratulatory messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, and to each and every one of you as we gather on this evening to celebrate the birth anniversary of the partner of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, Sayyida Zainab bint Ali alayhim afdalu salatu was salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. We pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that we all get an opportunity to go for her ziyarat to Sham, inshaAllah, and that we receive her shafaat in the hereafter. The celebration or the remembrance of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam is something that I think our hearts naturally gravitate towards. I think she's one of those personalities very similar to Abul Fadl, you know, where they inspire all of us. I think young, old, men, women, they have these characteristics where you find within them this hope when you think about them, this guidance when we think about them. And especially when you look at the life of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam and what she went through from the time that she was a child, to see men attack her home yet persevere through that, to see how her father was treated yet she developed compassion for others in that process. And then you, of course, see the shahadat of the first imam and the shahadat of the second imam, and then in Karbala, and through all of these events, which are difficult, yeah, they are catastrophic. They are events that can shape one's outlook of life very differently than what she allowed it to shape her life. You know, and this is where I think we gain a lot of inspiration when we look at her life from that perspective. Because I think when we analyze life in general, when we look at how dunya works, I think one of the realities of dunya is that dunya is always going to find a way to make things difficult for us, you know. And it's never a dunya that's easy, it's never a life that's easy, but yet we have to realize there is a response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. And when we try to figure out what that response is to the ups and downs of dunya, I think looking at the life of Sayyida Zainab is a great blueprint for us. You know, you look at the qualities that she possessed, the qualities that she displayed when it came to these difficulties that she endured, be it her courage, be it her eloquence, be it her hope, everything, her steadfastness, her patience, all of these different qualities that we see in her life, you know, these are qualities that we should, or that we need to be able to mold ourselves with if we are going to be successful in dunya, right? And I think this is where, when we think about these qualities, it's very important that, like, it's the analogy that I'm sure we've heard of before, and it's the iceberg analogy, you know, where when you look at an iceberg, they say only 10% of it is out of water. That's what people see, but the remainder of that iceberg is under that water, and that's what brings it that stability. I think when we look at the characteristics that, for example, just looking at Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam possessed, we're looking at that 10%. Yeah. We're looking at qualities like courage, like bravery, like patience. And this is what we see when events require her to display these characteristics. But the fact that she was able to bring out these characteristics in very difficult moments, it means that her entire life she worked on that 90%. Yeah, and I think this is where we have to take a huge lesson in our lives, you know, because when we, like, when we look at, like, we think, we look at ourselves with sometimes rosy glasses, you know, and we think that, yeah, if, for example, bombs were being dropped on me the way they are in Lebanon and Palestine, like, no, I would act this way. Well, but a bomb has never been dropped on me, right? Like, how do I know I'll act like that? You know, that if I were to go through difficulty, I would respond in this way. We think we would. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that if we're not working and developing ourselves now in times of ease to have these characteristics, then in times of difficulty, they're not just going to rise out of thin air. You follow or no? Yeah? I think this is really important. I think we fool ourselves, and not just fool ourselves. I think this is how Shaitan fools us, you know? That in times of ease, he kind of tells us, relax, you're good, you know? But in times of difficulty, then, I find that I don't respond correctly. I stress out, I panic, I get angry, I get frustrated, I lose my patience. Why? Because when things weren't hectic, I never took that time to develop myself. And that's that 90% example that I think we really need to work on. That in times of ease, it's not for me to lift that my foot off that gas pedal when it comes to perfecting my iman, but rather that's when the development takes place, so that when difficulties arise, I'm able to respond correctly. And it's that 90% development that I think, when we look at the life of Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam and how her entire life, she worked on her connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She worked on the expectations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for believers. And when you look at the development of this connection and what we are supposed to do in our lives constantly, there are three areas that I think are really important for us to focus on. The first one is, of course, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That I have to have such a belief in God that it produces the equivalent in action of what God expects from me. I think that's a easy way to remember how much faith or what kind of faith I'm supposed to have in God. We can say study a book. We can say, yes, these are all tools to develop my iman. But then if my actions are not consistent with that belief, then my faith is weak. Yeah? And so when we talk about faith and what type of faith we should have, it should be a type of faith that produces the right actions, the kind of actions that God wants. And so that's the first area of connection that all of us have to work on every single day. That I say I believe in God, then let me prove it with my actions that I believe in God. And so I should never have inconsistency when it comes to what God expects from me. I think that's the first area. The second area of connection comes through the belief in risala and wilaya. You know, these two things are then the next corollary or the next necessary steps. That I have to believe in the messengers and the leaders whom God has selected to guide us. But this is where also, when we talk about belief, this is belief that has to be backed up with action, right? So it's not enough. Honestly, like as lovers of Ali, as lovers of Zainab, as lovers of all of these great personalities, it's not enough for us to say that I love them if my actions are not like them. Yeah? And this is where, just as the first one, I say I believe in God, then prove it with your actions. Similarly, when I say that I have a belief in the Prophet and the Imams and all of these great personalities that God has sent, then my actions should be similar to their actions, right? The way they acted, the way they conducted them, the way they worshipped. We can't mimic them exactly, because that's why they were selected and we weren't selected. But man, it should be along that same path, right? So I can't be doing something that's different. And so again, when you look at these two points, Zainab alayhi salam perfectly embodied this, right? So she believed in God, but then she constantly worked to prove that belief by acting in a manner that God would be pleased. And similarly, she grew up in that house of risala and wilaya, and she had the necessary actions to imitate the people who God had sent. The third component is the belief in the hereafter. The day of judgment. This is the third component of connection. Again, we're talking about developing that 90%, isn't it, right? So it's the belief in God and action, belief in risala and wilaya and action. And the third area is the belief and certainty in the hereafter. I think this component or this area is very important and very powerful. The belief that not only will I die any time, but that every single thing that I have done in this life will be brought up and I will be accounted for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This belief is really important. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, we know this verse very well, 185, he says, "Kullu nafsin ahsantum dha'ikatul maut." Every soul shall taste death. And that's a reality, isn't it? We accept that reality, but I think we have to read what comes after, right? And he says, "Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawm al-qiyamah." And indeed, you will be paid back in full on the day of judgment. That means every single thing that happens in this world, we will be paid back by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why the belief in this is so important, not only belief, but the conviction in this last point to develop that 90% is so important, is because if I am absolutely certain that every action will be accounted for, then I am able to deal with the difficulties of this world differently. Yeah? When I find hardship, and I know that sometimes this hardship cannot be corrected in this world, and even if this hardship is corrected in this world, it will not bring that satisfaction or that calmness to my heart that has endured difficulty, then knowing that this has not been forgotten by God makes it palatable. You understand? It's really important. And not only does this belief then change the way I look at difficulties, not only is the belief in the day of judgment change the way I endure hardships, but it also gives me courage to stand up against those who have oppressed me, to remind them of this reality. And when you look at Sayyidina Zainab alayhi salam, it's this third point that you see her mention over and over again when she stood up and spoke to Ibn Ziyad, when she stood up and spoke to Yazid. We'll just take a couple of examples to highlight this point, that when she delivered her sermon in Kufa, you know, things were tense. This is when Ibn Ziyad felt that he could do whatever it is that he wanted. But Sayyidina Zainab alayhi salam, in this environment of chaos, you know, this is where, subhanAllah, even when you look at Fadak, this was an intimidating environment. Yeah? These were men who had recently attacked her home, yet she did not shy away from defending her rights. Same here with Zainab alayhi salam. These were men who had just killed her brother, had killed her entire family, had taken them prisoners, but she never shied away, yeah, from speaking the truth. And I firmly believe that it's that understanding and that belief in the hereafter that drives this particular point home. And so when you look at what Zainab alayhi salam said to Ibn Ziyad and to the people who were gathered, she said, "Ala wa hal fikum illa salafun nataf wa sadaru shanaf." She says, "Indeed, are there any amongst you other than vain pretenders with groveling hearts, strengthless when present, helpless against the enemy, breakers of oath, and needless of obligation? فَبِئْسَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَنَّ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَفِي الْعَذَابِ أَنْتُمْ خَالِدُونَ." She says that what an evil you have done to yourselves, for which you have earned God's wrath, and for which you will languish eternally in chastisement. The belief that Zainab alayhi salam had, that this war that took place, this killing that took place, this imprisonment that took place, does not end here, but that it will continue and that God will give his vengeance against those who are unjust gives one tremendous amount of strength to stand up against these type of injustices. She continues in that sermon too. And she said, are you surprised? أَفَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ قَطَرَتِ السَّمَاءُ دَمَا. She said, are you surprised that the skies are raining blood? Subhanallah. Yeah? Are you surprised that the skies are raining blood? وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى. But what is coming for you on the day of judgment is far worse than what you will experience in this world. And this is something that we see again. The belief in the hereafter and the fact that nothing has been forgotten by Allah and that every single thing will be accounted for on the day of judgment is something that gives a lot of courage for us in this world. Yeah, it gives a lot of patience for us in this world. And all of these qualities that we see and that we describe Zainab alayhi salam having, courage, faith, hope, etc., these all stem from the fact that she knows that this world is not it. Yeah, there's more to come. And this more to come is something that all of us have to be reminded of. And it's from this understanding that I want to develop our topic for the rest of the time that we have. Yeah, the belief that death is imminent. Yeah, and that after death, we will be taken into account for. Now, I know it's a khushali. Yeah, well, I weighed the pros and the cons of this topic before I came here, right? But I think we're not talking about the fact that we're not talking about death. You know, death can be understood in multiple ways. When we talk about death, as far as what happens to others, yes, it's very difficult. It's sad. But I think if we talk about death as far as our own journey in that world, I think death is something that is very beautiful. Yeah, it's very beautiful. You know, prophetic traditions, they say, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut," that the gift of a believer is death. Subhanallah, right? But it's about how you understand death. It's about how you prepare for death. It's about how you mold yourself to have that belief and certainty that what's going to come is far better than what we have right now. And it's with that understanding that we're going forward, yeah? To understand how you and I can make the most of this world to prepare ourselves for that which is to come. You know, the reality when we talk about death, right? We've highlighted a couple of really important points already. One, we all know we're going. Yeah? We all know we're going. None of us here sit with that illusion that I'm not going to die at any moment. I think all of us understand. Maybe when we were young, we thought, I'll repent tomorrow. And now when I'm older, I think how silly it was of me to have that mentality that I have a tomorrow that's guaranteed, right? But we all understand that death is something that we will encounter, that is coming, it's right around the corner. And what we understand about death is that, and the second thing we covered is that every single thing that we do in this world will be accounted for. Big or small, good or bad, nothing goes unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing, right? There are many things that we may do in this world that will not go noticed or will not have an effect on us immediately. So for example, if I give up a chair for someone more deserving, what will be the consequence of that? The consequence of that is my back will hurt sitting on the floor. That's the consequence. But how that's translated with God in the hereafter is something beautiful. We believe in that, right? And that's why we do hasanat. Not for it that hasanat to benefit me in dunya, but with that firm understanding that this hasanat will benefit me in ukhra. But at the same time, we have to understand that every small thing that I do is also not unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I roll my eyes at my parents, they may not see me do it behind their back, but wallah, God has noticed that particular act, right? And so what we have to be mindful of is that not only will I die at any moment, but that everything big or small will be accounted for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the verse that we quoted earlier. And not only that, what we also understand about the process of death is that the entire journey of death and life after death is dependent upon this world, right? It's dependent upon my actions in this world. So how the angel of death will appear to me, how the sakarat of maut will happen, the pangs of death that everyone goes through, how my stay in the qabr will be, how my barzakh will be, how my resurrection will be, how my journey towards my final destination will be. All of that is dependent upon what we did in this world. Nothing is arbitrary. We will be paid back, as Allah says, in absolute full. And so our entire journey is dependent upon that. And therefore, I think what we also have to then conclude from that is that while we are created for the hereafter, the most important realm is dunya. Yeah? The most important realm. Now I know we have to understand, right? That yes, we have not been created for this world. We have been created for the hereafter. But if my hereafter is dependent on what I did in this world, then what's the world that's important? It's this dunya, right? And so when we think about it in that way, we understand that this world has to be approached a certain way as believers. It has to be. We can't take this world for granted because I don't know when my time will end, right? We can't mess around and not take things seriously. Now, at the same time, I don't want us to think that we can't enjoy this world, right? We can absolutely enjoy this world. And the analogy that I've developed over, if you heard my Muharram in the House Majalis, the analogy that I developed, and maybe someone else did, but I'm crediting this, yeah? Is that the dunya is like a job, yeah? You know, like we all have a job, right? We have to do it because there's certain goals that job has. And so dunya has certain goals. It's a job, yeah? We are in this world for the hereafter. But we also know that the best kind of job is a job where you enjoy going to, yeah? You have a friend there. You enjoy the work that you do. That means that time that you put in there is not so difficult. You go through it, right? And so dunya is like that. You can enjoy this world, like a job that's fun to be at. But just like that job, if I don't produce, I'll get fired, regardless of how much fun I'm having. If I'm not producing, I'll get fired. Similarly in dunya, if I'm not producing, there is consequences for my actions. And so we can absolutely enjoy this world. But at the same time, from time to time, I will have to say no to certain things in this world because it will harm my akhirah. And so it's in a framework of enjoyment. Yeah, that these are things that we enjoy, these are things that we participate in, and there are things that I don't. And with that understanding that when I fight my desires and not enjoy these things that are outside the framework, I believe that God will reward me for my patience, and so I'm willing to do what God asks me to do. There are times when we have to sacrifice in this world. You know, subhanAllah, like a few months back, I called my brother. You know, my brother had traveled to see my other brother, and there was some brother envy in me that I wasn't there with them, you know, so I kept calling them saying, where are you? What are you guys doing? I'm pretty sure I was bothering them, you know. But I kept talking, and I said, so what's the plan today? What are you doing? I was like, where's lunch? Because, you know, we talk about food, right? I was like, where's lunch? And to my surprise, they said, we're skipping lunch today. And I said, subhanAllah. Like, what happened? And I was like, why are you skipping lunch today? And he said, big dinner planned. Yeah? And I said, makes sense, doesn't it? Right? Makes sense. And then subhanAllah, that is how dunya is. Yeah? Dunya is sometimes I have to skip things because there's something big happening later. Yeah? And this is our understanding, my brothers and sisters, of how this world works. Enjoy it. But if this enjoyment is going to harm my akhirah, skip it with that firm belief that whatever will come to me there is far superior to what I can enjoy in this world. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now when we look at those who are successful in akhirah, we find that the Quran is very clear that those who are successful in akhirah are those who plan for their akhirah. Yeah? And I think this point is something that you and I cannot gloss over. That just simply cruising through this world, yeah, chant to chant, namaz to namaz, and not trying to improve myself is not planning for my akhirah. Yeah? That each day I have to make in the decisions that I come across, the choices that I come across, I have to weigh that choice with how this act will influence and affect my akhirah. And that's the planning that's required. In one of my favorite verses, in the verse that we read in the khutbah, from Surah Al-Haqqah, verses 19 through 28, but we'll just look at a few of these verses. Allah Azza wa Jal says, you should go back and read these at home, Haqqah 19 through 28. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Man utiya kitabahu bi yamini, and as for those who are given their book on their right hand, fayaqulu ha umqra'u kitabiya, they will say back here, read my book. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya, I knew this day will come when my accounting would take place. Now let me tell you something, yeah? This is a book where Allah says nothing is left off of it. Yeah? Nothing is left. Every breath is accounted for in this book. You know how confident you have to be to say to God, here, read my book. I'm ready for this day. SubhanAllah. Yeah? That only happens if you planned for that day. Yeah? Otherwise, I'd be like, let me rip off a page or two, Ya Rab. Yeah, let me just cross out some things I'm not. No, yeah, you have to be, we have to be, I have to be absolutely confident to say, Hinni zanantu anni mulaqin. I knew this day would come when my accounting would take place. So here, read my book, O Allah. And this is where my brothers and sisters, we understand the importance of planning. Yeah, we have to plan. And so what I want to spend the rest of this time, told you it wasn't depressing, huh? Alhamdulillah, yeah? How do we plan for our death? Yeah? How do we plan for the day of accounting? Now, we can obviously go through a list of things. We can talk about more salah, more this, more that, and I think that will come as a part of it. But I want to look at just three, what I would call core preparations, essential preparations. If we can focus on these three areas, then hopefully we are better planned, right, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first area of essential planning or core planning is an intellectual and rational belief that my death is imminent. You know, not something that's in the back of my mind, that, yeah, I might die, right? Something may happen, Allah knows. No, like, man, it could happen right now, right? It could happen tomorrow. Like a firm belief, right? That it could happen at any time, that we're at this doorstep, and that door will open at any time for any one of us, regardless of age, regardless of anything that happens. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. In Nahj al-Balagha, he says to his son, our second imam, he says, Ya Bunayya, akthir min dhikri al-maut wa dhikri ma tahjumu alayh. He says to him, oh my son, think about death and think about it often. Reflect on what you are rushing towards and where you may be pitched after death. Think about it often, he says, right? You know, it's this idea that we cannot forget that we are at the doorstep of death is something that we have to find out a way of cultivating practically into our lives. And this is that million-dollar question of how do we do that? Honestly, there are certain things, like in my studies or in my just adventures with Islam, which is really no different than your adventures in Islam. You know, there are certain points that if we can figure out, it can be game changers for us, like absolute game changers when it comes to our iman. Like one of the things would be like, how do I remember God all the time, right? If you can figure that out, life would be different, right? If we can figure out how to remember death all the time, I think life would be different. You know, like if you've ever watched The Matrix, right? And when Neo becomes the one and then he enters this world and everything is slowed down for him, yeah? Some of you nod so you don't sound like I'm talking a different language, right? I know you've seen it, right? That's how this world becomes for us if we can figure out a few of these things. If I can figure out how to remember God all the time, man, life changes. Because every decision comes, I'll be like, nope, not what God wants. Yep, this is what God, it changes. Similarly, when it comes to death, that how do I remember death all the time? If I can figure out how, it changes. Because then I don't make the decisions that I make, right? I don't act sometimes the way that I act. Because what if I die right now and this is how I meet God? That's not how I want to meet God. So it changes, right? But how? Oh, you gotta figure it out, honestly. Like, I wish there was a simple answer, right? I can tell you what I try, not perfected in any way, because I forget sometimes. I found that for the things that are immaterial, that we cannot touch, we need to have material reminders to remind us of that thing, right? You know, like, for example, like, let's say, like, I have to take a medicine once a day, and it's new, so it's not my habit to take it. If I don't keep that medicine in front of me, I'll forget to take it, right? Because it's not my habit, right? So I have to keep it in my counter where I wake up, I see it right away, for example. Similarly, when it comes to God or when it comes to death, these are not things that you can see, right? And so I have to set physical reminders to remind me of that which is something I cannot see. And so in our lives, we just have to find a way to set up reminders to remind me that death is imminent, whatever it is, yeah? Whether it's sticky notes, whether it is... I wear my watch in my different hand. You heard me give these examples with different things. Wear my wallet in a different place, carry my purse in my different hand, put my hijab pin differently, whatever. Because when we change our routine, our mind will ask us that, hey, why are you changing something? And you say, oh, just remember death. Yeah? It's these small reminders that can have a huge impact in our lives, huge impact, right? And so one of the things we do is we create certain physical reminders to remind us of our imminent death. And therefore, when I'm reminded of it often enough, that thought doesn't escape me, right? That's one thing we can do. Something else we can do, visit the sick more often, right? When we see someone who is in a state where it may appear that they are closer, but not necessarily true, it's a reminder. Attend funerals as often as you can, because there's a huge reminder in that. Ask Allah to remind us of death. And so these are some things, as I said, this is something, honestly, like we have to figure out for ourselves. What will make us remember death more often? This is a conversation you need to have with your families. This is a conversation you need to have with yourselves and figure out a strategy to remind yourself of it more often. That's number one. I have to find a way to remember death more often. Number two, similar to what we talked about with belief in God and belief in Nubuwwah and Wilayah, is that there has to then be action that backs up that belief. Yeah? And so if I firmly believe that I can die at any moment, then it just naturally behooves that my actions should show that I am going to die at any moment, isn't it, right? But it doesn't. Like, I hurt people's feelings as if I have tomorrow to forgive, ask for forgiveness, right? I steal money from people as if I have later to pay them back. I act in a manner as though my life is very long or I don't care about the consequences, right? But we have to find consistency between the belief that we could die at any moment and the fact that my actions then are consistent with that belief. So some very practical things. Do all the wajib. You know, there's like no time to say I will change tomorrow. You know, my heart's not yet ready to do that. No, that's nonsense, honestly. Do it. Even if you don't feel like it, do it. You know God has prescribed it. I can't wait for you to be ready to do it. SubhanAllah. Right? Like, what kind of ridiculousness is that, right? Do it. This is what God expects from you. So do all the wajib. Why? Because my God, I could die right now, right? Not only do the wajib, like avoid all the haram, right? You know, like subhanAllah, like we are embarrassed. Wouldn't we be embarrassed if someone saw me doing something haram? Yeah, of course, right? I'll tell you a funny story, yeah? Like one day I was driving, I won't tell you where, what city, nothing, yeah? In one of my experiences in this world, I was driving. And as I was driving, there's a red light. And I stopped at the red light, obviously, right? And a car pulled up next to me, bumping music, yeah? I just look over, and the guy looks over, and it was a guy from mosque, yeah? Wallah, yeah? He looked at me, I looked at him, and you can see like embarrassment on his face, right? Because he got caught with the hand in the cookie jar, right? And so like, I played it cool because I'm cool like that, you know? And I didn't say anything to him. I just kept driving. But that got me thinking, right? Like, when you see me or if I do something in front of you, it would be embarrassing for me. But subhanAllah, we're not embarrassed in front of Allah, right? Like every day I do something, I'm not embarrassed. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says in the tradition, فَكُنْ مِنْهُ عَلَىٰ حَذَرٍ أَنْ يُدْرِكَكَ وَأَنْتَ عَلَىٰ حَالِ السَّيِّئَةِ. He says, be watchful, lest death seize you while you are in a state of sin. SubhanAllah, yeah? Like I think next time I want to sin, just remember that. Like what if what if I'm listening to music and that's how I die? And that's how I'm going to meet God? Yeah? What if I'm watching something inappropriate and my heart gives out? That's how I'm going to meet God? Yeah? What if I'm being abusive to my parents and that's when God takes me? That's how I'm going to meet God? We should have some fear that, man, this is not how I want to meet God, with my hand in the cookie jar, right? And that's what excuse will I give to God at that point? Nothing, right? And that's not how we want to meet God. And so if I'm really prepared, yeah, to die, then I should live a life that's very consistent with that belief. Very consistent, right? And then you can add on to this, right? You can add on to things like pay back debts, forgive others, try and raise pious children, make the lives of others better, do good. Not later, but do good now, yeah? Don't push it off. Whatever you can, volunteer, whatever it is. And so live a life that is consistent. The third point, so the first point again is to have intellectual belief. Secondly, my action has to be consistent. Third point is to have our hearts be excited to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? This is that third point. Right now, like, I still love dunya a bit, so I'm not yet ready, you know? This is why, like, when I talk to God and I say, Ya Allah, I'm ready, right? Because we were supposed to be like that, like, Ya Allah, I'm ready. But I just want to do more good. Yeah? Like, Ya Allah, I'm ready. But I just want to meet the imam of my time. Ya Allah, I'm ready. But I want to go for one more ziyarat. Like, subhanAllah, like, when I think about how I talk to God about me being ready, it's basically like I'm rapping with good wrapping paper, but inside it's a spoiled gift. I'm not ready to meet God yet. Because if I was truly ready to meet God, I wouldn't then give excuses of things. I'll meet the Imam when I cross over. I'll do the ziyarat of Hussein personally, not in Karbala. Yeah? These are beliefs that we should have. If I die, don't you think God would look after my family? I can't have these excuses, because these excuses, as noble as they may be, are excuses, right? They're showing I'm not ready. A believer should have a heart that is excited with the promises God has made about what's coming forward. Yeah? Excited. You know, there are so many verses of the Holy Quran that talk about what kind of life believers can expect, right? And I'll just give one example. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 277. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. As for those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they do good. So these two things go hand in hand, yeah? Can't just be iman and then I'm a bad person, or it just can't be I'm a good person but I don't want to be. No, iman, amal salihat. These are the conditions. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa aqamu salah, and they establish their zakah, their salah, wa atau zakah, and they give zakah, or they are charitable. Lahum ajruhum inda rabbihim. Their reward is with Allah. And then what does God say? Wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun. Subhanallah. And they will have no fear and nothing to be sad about. Just that verse. Forget the rivers flowing, forget the palm trees, forget the silk, forget the gold. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum. What else do we want? What else do we want? A world where we have nothing to fear and nothing to be sad about. My God, in this world every day, we have something to fear, something to be sad about. Yeah? Emails come from Jamaat member, be like, Yaquida, what's the complaint today? Yeah? No, a world where eventually nothing to fear, nothing to be sad about. Why is my heart not excited for that world? I ask myself that. Doesn't mean I plan anything to get there. Don't get crazy. Yeah? But why am I not excited about a world where I have nothing to be fearful of? If I was excited about that world, you better believe my actions would be in line in case I go tomorrow. I'm in a good place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three points, yeah, are essential for us if we are going to enjoy what's coming next. Number one, I have to believe rationally that my death is imminent. Number two, that I have my action that is consistent with that belief. And number three, I have to create this longing and desire to enjoy the promises that have been made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, remember one thing, because I think we should remember this. Just because I'm ready doesn't mean I'm going to die. You know, I think that sometimes people be like, if I say, Ya Allah, I'm ready, Allah be like, Chalo, yeah, let's go. No, relax. It's not necessarily like that, right? But I just have to create this readiness. And if I can create this readiness, then maybe I will develop the qualities as well that we saw in Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam that we mentioned in the beginning. And maybe me too will be able to see beauty in everything because I'm living for that next world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to forgive the sins of our parents and loved ones, that for those who are going through difficulty, that He end their difficulty. For those that have asked us to pray for them, Ya Allah, accept their hajat. And for our brothers and sisters all around the world, especially in Lebanon and Palestine and Yemen and Syria, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to relieve them of their difficulty and crush those who are the cause of their difficulty. Rahimallahu man qara'a suratil mubarakatil fatiha masbukatan bis salati ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.